What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about three comics
that came...
Why don't you tell them, Pete?
I mean,
it's 2018. It's a whole new stack. This could be anything, guys.
And we can talk about anything. Who even knows? We could talk about three sandwiches. We could talk about three jelly beans, three types of pizza.
But it's called The Stack.
So how about we have stack a stack of jelly beans.
How about it's a stack of masculine emotions in, like, the modern world?
Oh, wow. That's really deep. Wow. I'm feeling a little sad, seasonal,
effective. Don't mansplain to me what the fucking stack is, all right?
I don't mansplain anything to
you. Can I mansplain what the stack is?
Sure,
that right?
Please.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'll tell you guys. Mansplaining means explaining to men, right?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's
so
service.
We're going to talk about three books that came out today, and today is going to be an all-Marvel stack because it's a big day for Marvel comic books.
It is?
It's really huge for them and for us.
Hey, if your boy Alex says it, you know it's big.
Your boy!
Yeah, real quick, can I holler at your boy?
Oh,
okay, great.
You mean you?
No, I mean talk to boys. Who are you guys? So we're going to review X-Men Gold Annual number 1, Avengers number 675, and Old Man Hawkeye number 1. So let's kick it off in reverse order. Let's talk about Old Man Hawkeye number 1.
Yeah.
Now,
my favorite of the stack.
Oh, really?
Really?
Don't spoil
interesting.
It.
Now, this is a spinoff, in case you haven't guessed, of Old Man Logan.
Which, as we all know, critically acclaimed, one of the best comics ever.
One of
written.
Your best guys.
Not one of my favorites. I just love following up on the old male characters in the Marvel Universe and finally getting the Giza squad together.
Fuck you, man. Huh? Old people can do cool shit. What the fuck?
Yeah, no, I'm not
just
what I'm saying.
Because, like, they're old, that means they're not cool?
All I'm saying is, like, there's a problem.
Don't put fucking a limit on age.
I'm just saying a limit on age? No. Age is forever.
Well, so let's talk about this. So Old Man Hawkeye is having prostate problems. He goes see the doctor.
Yeah.
He has it checked out. His doctor.
No, I thought we were going to talk about the comic.
Oh, no. Let's talk about the comic. Okay. So I really like this as well. I wasn't expecting to like it after the first couple of pages because it really does throw you in the middle of the thick of it. I actually thought I had missed an issue for a good chunk of it at a certain point.
Because you're Old Man Zalbin.
I'm Old Man Zalbin. I don't know what's going on. But
I remain the youngest member
this
of Comic Book Club.
Because this actually might be confusing for some comic book readers, because there is a Old Man Logan comic book series currently running, this picks up before the original Old Man Logan series by Mark Millar. It just, like I said, throws you in the middle, follows Old Man Hawkeye, picks up on a lot of plot points from that comic book. Once you got past the beginning, which, if you don't know what is going on, is very confusing. It eventually rewinds the clock, explains what's going on, throws in some cool twists, and I thought it was very exciting to read.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of Old Man Logan, as we talked about plenty of times.
Plenty of times.
But I really love this. The art by Marco Cicchetti is so good. And Hawkeye versus a gang of Madroxes, I thought that was a fun take on that. I loved the sort of... Like Alex said, this is back before Hawkeye had lost his eyesight, which he was in Old Man Logan. So he gets that diagnosis, and we follow him sort of on his cannonball run, I guess.
In that way, it's sort of like Diagnosis Murder, which is another show involving an old Dick Van Dyke. Old Man Dick Van Dyke.
Cool.
I just wanted to mention it's written by Ethan Sachs, who I don't actually know a lot about.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
But there you go.
But
Mystery
so far,
man.
He's killing the game. I like it because, you know, we get a lot of action, and I like seeing these two together. Brings me back to the Old Man Logan days, that first run, and I thought it did a great job of just kind of establishing a world and going back and revisiting it in a way that doesn't make you like it or hate it. It's still kind of put a new stamp on it.
It's great to see a young Old Man Logan interacting with an older Hawkeye who is actually, I guess, a young Old Man Hawkeye.
Right.
That's what they should have called it.
Yeah. It's an old comic that's...
But it's fresh.
It's a fresh, young comic about old men for young readers.
I just like seeing a post-apocalypse where everybody has really interesting facial hair. That's my favorite thing about the book. Frankly.
I mean, sure, the world ended, but let's shave.
Yeah,
let's keep our faces looking good.
Well, everybody has kind of ridiculous mustaches. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, the Madroxes can clone themselves, but also really manicure their faces.
I mean, after a while, you got to get creative. You know?
Yeah, look, you're so creative with your facial
hair. Yeah, you're ready for the post-apocalypse, Pete. Old Man Pete over there. All right, let's move on. We'll talk about X-Men Gold Annual number 1. This is by Mark Guggenheim and Leah Williams. Sure. Yeah. Nobody calls him that, but okay. And the art is by Aletha E. Martinez with additional inks by Craig Young.
I was just excited to see him because I see his name on the television all the time.
Yeah.
I was excited to see his name on
all
the comic
book. All the time.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of shows.
Yeah, you've been wanting to go to Googertown for a while, and here you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I was excited that the
Googs
didn't...
You know that he's been writing X-Men Gold for a while now, since the beginning of the title.
Like 20 issues.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, this is the first one I'm picking up. So,
oh, there you go.
I was like, oh, the Googs.
Yeah.
So
did you like the comic, Pete?
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us about it.
I think the Googs is a good writer. I think he does well on team books. And, yeah, I mean, I thought the... I don't know why, but I really like that cute little baby moment where it was like, hi, pick me up.
Just to take a little bit of a step back, I was super excited about this because I was a huge fan of Excalibur back in the day. If you've never read at least the first 12, but I would say the first 50 issues of Excalibur, they are a pretty much perfect package. They're totally crazy. The Alan Davis art is wonderful. Chris Claremont wrote the first 12 issues, I want to say, and then Alan Davis took over later on. There's a huge twist that happens in by the 50th issue that is fantastic. So this is bringing the original Excalibur team back together. So when I saw the cover for this annual, I flipped out a couple of months ago. I was so excited about it.
Yeah.
This comic was not great.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Shot across the was not in love with this comic.
Wait. You just talked about how you shot your load looking at the cover, and then like you didn't enjoy it at all.
Not what I said.
It seems like
none of these things.
Let me back you up on that, because I agree with you. Like, I like Excalibur a lot. These characters are interesting. Megan, who's a testament to how popular the name Megan was when she was created, that she didn't have a superhero name besides the name Megan. And Captain Britain
very popular.
Have a hyper intelligent child, and the X-Men Gold Squad is wants to go hang out. And at the same time, Phoenix is being, Rachel Gray is being attacked by some alien guy who she ruined his life, or the Dark Phoenix did, and the Debari, I believe. And so it's all interesting stuff happening, but it's just all the characters are acting odd.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like the way it's, if Bendis's writing is accused of being like so conversational and down to earth, this is like the opposite. Everyone seems like they're like high and sort of like...
Yeah, I completely agree with you that I liked some of the situations and I did feel like classic Excalibur. Like, it's a weird book and strange things happen and they're constantly crossing to other worlds and interacting with other worlds. So there's a really fun bit in the middle where they start switching through all these parallel realities. And that was a lot of fun. Like you said, Megan and Brian Braddock's baby is hyper-intelligent.
Unexplained. I thought it was cool. It's just like, that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's just the thing. Yeah. And it's a cute, fun character. And there's a lot of fun bits with it. But I agree with you, Justin, that a lot of the dialogue felt very stilted and very awkward.
Yeah.
And in a whole, it just felt like there was a lot of action going on. Like, they have this whole big thing on the first couple of pages where they're like, we're X-Men, but we gotta... fly coach, and then it doesn't pay off in any way whatsoever.
Well, it felt like a good like idea for a joke, but it was played so oddly.
Yeah,
that I was like, oh,
yeah, that's the thing. It was I didn't hate it. I also didn't jizz my load or whatever you said about the cover necessarily, Pete.
You were the one telling how excited you were. So
it was,
sorry.
Yeah, there's other ways of being excited. I'm just throwing it out there.
Not in Pete's world. No. It was sort of like old man joking.
Oh, that's pretty
good.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I haven't read this book, and I was just kind of excited about it.
Hey, I'm glad you liked it. I'm very happy about that. But let's move on. Do you guys want to move on? We'll talk.
Fine. Let's move on.
Oh, great.
I mean, I haven't seen Kurt in a while, so it was nice to see Nightcrawler. So
in X-Men Gold. Has been running for like 20-something issues.
All right.
I think you should jump back and check it out.
I guess I'm going to. And then you guys can stop berating me. I'm sorry I didn't read all of these before,
but there's no berating.
I'm jumping on with this issue, and I had a good time, and maybe it's nostalgia the reason I'm having a good time, but that's what's
tell
happening.
Tell you what, you're going to go back, you're going to read X-Men Gold, you are going to jizz that load.
Oh, man.
Great. 2018.
Wish I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Thanks for mansplaining that to me, by the way. Let's talk about our last comic book, which is a huge event, Avengers 675. All of the ancillary Avengers books have been canceled. They've been wiped out of existence to make way for this weekly event called Avengers No Surrender. This is the first issue pairing together Al Ewing, Mark Waid, and Jim Zub, who have been writing the regular Avengers titles, on a epic globe-spanning journey that takes every single Avengers character and mixes them together as the Earth ends up being stolen. What did you think about this? How'd you feel about the kickoff for this event?
It was sort of, I liked parts of it. Like, it reminded me of comics from, like, so long ago where they just, like, globe-trotting random mix of Avengers. Like, I really liked when people were talking about how their Avengers card was buzzing. Like, that took me back to, like, Avengers from, like, the late 90s, which I thought was sort of cool. But it's sort of unclear. Like, no one knows what's happening the whole time, and it's just, like, panel after panel of... like random people, like an Avenger you know, and then a bunch of people you don't really know being like, quick, get the thing and like move it around. It's like watching people do a bunch of chores. But I like to focus on Lightning in the first section.
So this is what I was going to say about it. The book kicks off with one of the, I'm totally blanking on what the name of the teen is, but it's the Western superheroes.
Yeah,
that like Armadillo was on, and Texas Twister, and a bunch of folks.
It was
like
the U.S. Avengers at the time.
Wasn't
the, but that's what maybe what.
Yeah, they were part of Avengers Academy. I think they had like they had a specific name that I'm completely blanking on. But it kicks off with him just having an adventure. He reveals he's like, "Hey, I'm not Living Lightning anymore. That was a dumb name. I'm called Lightning." And then it gets back to him by the end because he's one of the few Avengers that hasn't been frozen by the end of the book. We don't know why they've been frozen. But I would have loved if this book was focused on him.
Yeah, we saw his POV the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah, because I do think that once you get into this globe-spanning adventure, it's all fun stuff. I'm a huge fan of U.S. Avengers. I think what Al Ewing does there is great, and it's weird, and it's fun. So those pages in particular really jumped out for me, and I think that's the point of a book like this, is you've been reading one of the Avengers titles. You want to check in with your team and find out what's going on with the Unity Squad, what's going on with the U.S. Avengers. But I have this hesitation of like seeing yet another world threatening event, but from a new perspective, from a character we haven't seen in a really long time, that they're building up for big things. That would have been cool and different, I feel.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Pete, how'd you feel about it?
There was just too much shit going on in this book. I was having a hard time. Like every time I was getting into something, it changed teams. So I didn't enjoy this one as much. I mean, I love the art, and the writing and all that. I don't know if it was just too fast paced or what, but, every time I was like, okay, then it was like switch teams. Where are we now? And then I was just trying to get caught up. I would like to say, the shot, the panel of like Captain Marvel alone in space where she's just kind of like, that is beautiful, just absolutely gorgeous, really cool. And I wanted to get that as a poster and put it on my wall. But other than that.
The one other thing that held me back from really, really liking this was that the last two big Avengers-focused events both had these very specific, relatively similar, I think, Earth-focused threats. Like, if you look at Secret Empire, I love the Captain Marvel moment, but during Secret Empire, Captain Marvel and everybody was trapped outside of Earth. They're like, oh, no, there's no way of getting to Earth. And now in this one, Earth is gone. And I don't know if you guys read the Champions Avengers crossover that happened recently, but that was Earth versus Counter-Earth and this whole thing about, oh, no, things on Earth are disappearing and going to Counter-Earth, and maybe both Earths are going to disappear. So I know that's a trope of comic books that Earth is constantly threatened, but it felt extremely reminiscent of things that have just happened.
Yeah.
That said, there's a weird twist at the end that we knew was coming because it was teased back at the end of Secret Empire, where after Kobik, the Cosmic Cube, returned Earth to its normal state before Captain America became an evil Hydra. Don't bring it up, Pete. Okay. Before that happened, some things came back a little differently, including a character named Voyager, who seems to be part of the founding Avengers. So we finally get to her returning, quote unquote, at the end, and I'm really curious to see what happens with that.
Yeah, I think she's mixed up in this.
You think so? You think she might be an important character?
I guess we'll see. I don't know too much about her, but that might not always a disqualifier.
Huh. Would you say pick it up?
Yeah, I would say pick it up. I mean, it is going to be the linchpin Avengers book. I'm hoping, I mean, this is obviously a first issue. It suffers from her first issue-itis a little bit. I feel like once it expands a little bit, we'll get to actually spend time with these characters.
Yeah. Pete, what about you?
Yeah, I wouldn't pick this one up.
What? Wait, but you said you liked part of it.
I did really like part of it.
Oh, but it was a little all over the place.
Yeah.
Maybe you should check out X-Men Gold.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Really make you jizz that load.
Fuck both of you guys.
Okay, great. Glad we're keeping with that in 2018.
That was my New Year's resolution.
Is to not hear that.
Yep.
You're barking up the wrong Pete then.
Guys, if you would like to support this show and other shows that we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night in New York at the Pit Loft at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. That's totally free. So come on by and I'm not going to...
Great. I was just going to say Happy New Year's to everybody. And thanks for listening and supporting us. Three crazy dudes. We've been doing this for a really long time. And it's awesome. when we hear from you.
Oh, that's really nice. That's a nice...
Great. What else do you want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And tune in next as we mansplain some more things to you.
No, we're done with that.
No more in 2018?
Yes, we are. We are finally going to get in touch with our feminine sides.
Yay. I don't know if I have one of those.